folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of the union.
I think we've done more in the last decade than every other libertarian movement combined has accomplished in the last 5 decades.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians, anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Free State Live, where you get to hear about all the different ways you can live free and thrive in the Free State of New Hampshire. First and foremost, time to welcome everyone back. As always, I'm Justin O'Donnell, former libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate and author of 101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. And joining me, we have everyone's crowd favorite perennial candidate, author and activist extraordinaire, the Queen Quill, Carla Garrick. How are you, Carla?
Hi, I am great. Happy to be here. Sorry we're a little late.
Do you know, last week it was technical difficulties that kept us off the air altogether. We're inching our way back, right?
One bite at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, we do have Manchester's tallest comedian, funny man extraordinaire, Tall Bill. How are you, Bill?
I actually couldn't make it today, but luckily I have an AI version of myself sitting in, so we're going to move on with the episode.
We're going to chat Bill T.
Chat G Bill T.
Yeah, something like that.
We'll it sounds like it. A sandwich or like a bad rap group or something. I don't know.
Well, boy band.
Well, first off, we do want to apologize to everyone for last week's technical difficulties. Internet outage in Manchester caught me off guard and didn't really know how to proceed from there. But fortunately, our guest from last week was able to reschedule and come back this week. And auspicious as it is, if we want to talk about New Hampshire independence, secession, and the history of revolution and rebellion in this country, that we do so on Patriots Day, a holiday that exists to commemorate the act of rebellion and the opening shots of the Revolutionary War and the battles of Concord, Lexington, and Monotony, Massachusetts. And joining us today from the New Hampshire Independence Pack, we do have Matt Saborn de Chouinard. How are you, Matt?
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to see you. Great to see your face.
Second time's the charm.
So could we theorize that some kind of a New Hampshire Granite State historian, rebel, punk, knocked the internet out so we'd have to have this episode today? Could we posit that conspiracy theory to the universe?
You know, I'm open to everything. It's possible.
Did you do it, Matt?
There's nothing in this world that surprises me.
So, Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you get involved here in the Free State movement, and the Liberty movement here in New Hampshire? And, like, what was your path to, like, from getting involved in politics to thinking that, like, New Hampshire independence is it? That's all we've got left. And driving your focus into the New Hampshire
Got it. Okay, well, I guess... Okay, so I guess we can talk about this on two parts. One, you know, politics. Two, you know, the Free State Project. Because I first heard of the Free State Project in either 2018 or 2017, or maybe even 2016, back when I was active duty. I was a Air Force officer working on the MQ-9 Reaper. I was in aircraft maintenance, and I had made my decision that I wasn't going to be joining the military or staying in the military anymore. I was looking for opportunities to serve. And when I found out about the Free State Project, it looked like there was a bunch of citizens who really took citizenship seriously and seemed like the kind of people that you would hope that all American citizens would be, that we would be defending. And I wanted to be a part of that because I just, for the most part, I've lost confidence in at the federal level, their ability to lead virtuously. I've lost confidence in when I was active duty, I'd lost confidence in our, you know, high command to live those core values, to behave courageously. And I wanted to get involved. So that I was still uncertain about moving to New Hampshire. I'm originally from New York State. That's, you know, a beautiful place to call home, but if you've ever been there or you know anyone from New York State, they'll always talk about how the state government absolutely ruins the whole state. And maybe I was still under the impression that we could do like a free state project in every little state. You know, I thought, oh, okay, because back when I was in New York after I got out of the military, I'm like, okay, I got an idea for a better state flag, you know, a better, you know, let's add some state anthems, you know, let's go back to New York history. And, you know, when the shutdowns came in 2020, I was like, okay, you guys win. I don't feel welcome here anymore. So I happen to be from Saratoga Springs, which for everyone knows their history of the American Revolution. That was the turning point in the American War for Independence, where it inspired the French to, you know, to participate and join us and help us, you know, gain independence from the crown. And, you know, maybe this Frenchman here can help the next turning point. But with that being said, I know today is Patriots Day and we're remembering everybody, you know, that who sacrificed on that day back in, you know, 1775. You know, we are looking to secede peacefully, and I'm very clear on that. We've got a great standard of living. A few of the things that attracted me to New Hampshire was that we have a really high quality of life. Our metrics on the Human Development Index, it's just like Ireland over in Europe. We have, you know, a really intelligent population. You know, we have like second highest IQ in the entire country on average. We have, you know, the number one safest state in the country. We have one of the wealthiest states in the country. The average household income is a great place to come and have a family. We have four seasons. Mm. And those were some things that I loved back when I was in the military and in New Mexico. New Mexico is an absolutely beautiful place. New Hampshire is an incredibly beautiful place, but I love winter and I need to see snow on the ground. And I was like, I couldn't stay out there. I got to be in the Northeast. And you know, this is the best place in the world. You know, there's no other place to call home. I know, Carla, I think you mentioned during our panel at Liberty Forum about, you know, we want to make New Hampshire the Switzerland of North America. I was looking on the almanac for New Hampshire online, like newhampshirealmanac.org or something like that. New Hampshire, that's already one of the official nicknames for New Hampshire, the Switzerland of America, because of the mountains. So it's like we're already a little bit closer.
Yeah, to, I'm like, you know. Oh, that wasn't accidental. I'm pretty sure I was stealing someone else's idea.
So when we talk about New Hampshire independence, it's about maintaining this standard that we have here in the state. Nice. You know, what makes it great? We want to keep it that way. For everyone who's lost faith in the federal government, please come here, join us in this campaign. And really, I almost want to envision it as just a kind of a little bit of a handoff. You know, that's really, I'm not interested in doing anything crazy. I'm not.
Maybe less of a handoff and more of a return. Taking back what was ours to begin with.
Well said.
I mean, maybe the mistake was joining the union in the first place. I love how Carla phrased it at the CACR 32. Mm-hmm. Or it was sometimes after that where it's like, maybe like assume New Hampshire was independent. Mm-hmm. Assume New Hampshire had its own resources, its own government, mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. independent. Would you vote to join the United States?
Yeah, I don't think so. It's kind of, you know, I don't think so. It's kind of embarrassing today, especially with, you know, with the current POTUS and his, you know, mental illness, just that representing, you know, a country. It's very embarrassing. It's just, oh, I can't believe that's our guy. It's like, how did that happen? Well, geez, how did that happen? And, you know, when I saw what was going on in the 2020 election, I was like, okay, no, there's no ambivalence about it anymore. Occupied government. I'm not even thinking the federal context anymore. I actually did visit Vivek Ramaswamy, one of the Republican candidates for president, was actually in my town today. I did stop by his event because I wanted to ask him a question about secession to see what he would say. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't get there early enough. So they had a whole bunch of other questions line up. And so by the time that we have got room for two more questions, two other guys got in. And I didn't get to hear what he would have had to say. But I don't think libertarians need to have any, you know, faith in him, because he is one of the more like, I want to reform the Fed and get it back to regulating the dollar. And then I'm in the audience. I'm like, oh, okay. We've heard everything we need to hear.
You've heard everything you need to hear there from a libertarian perspective.
That's correct.
Who cares about the dollar? But I think the idea of secession and independence and local control is something that actually kind of it has the potential to break out of that echo chamber of libertarianism. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yes.
Find ourselves in. It can be a true nonpartisan localism. Issue. And we've seen secessionist movements across the country in various states run the gambit of their politics, where you have the Texas nationalists who do tend to be very right wing. Best Texas is free Texas. And then you have the Californian secessionists led by Louis Marinelli, who I had a debate with Louis Marinelli a couple years ago on California versus New Hampshire. And turns out, other than secession, we had nothing in common at all. The guy was a tried and true left-wing progressive socialist. He just thinks Sacramento is better than D.C. Low bar to clear there. But even in the more recent national divorce kind of talk that we've seen on social media and in the news media the last few years, you've seen people as far left here in New Hampshire as Sarah Silverman coming out in support of secession, saying that she thinks it's time for a national breakup for completely different reasons. She thinks New Hampshire is part of a progressive utopia.
Well, I think we should clarify something too. And I don't know, I think maybe most of our audience gets this probably, but some of them might not. There's conversation going around online about a national divorce. That lady Marjorie Taylor Greene from wherever she's from is talking about it. They're talking about this thing that I think is completely different than what you're talking about, Matt. And this is they're talking about the blue states and the red states splitting up. It's some goofy thing. We have a checkerboard of different states that are aligned with these two countries that are crisscrossed over each other. It's silly.
So
the logical
that is where Plaid comes from.
The logical conclusion of this would just be for different things. You could have groups.
Here's my concern about what happens when DC, starts listening to all of our ideas and they want to take it and run with it, right? Oh my gosh, September 11th happened. Do something. Okay, we got the Patriot Act, right? Do something. And then, okay, national divorce. Okay, do something. And then they might give us something that we don't even want. They might give us FEMA Region 8, FEMA Region 9. Okay, well, there's so much disruption in the United States. We have UN troops and all these Chinese troops come on in. I don't want that to be the national divorce either. They'll care for what you ask for because the government might just give it to you. So when I hear Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about national divorce, it's okay, but that's you saying it though. So what do you guys, when you guys hear me say that, what do you think? Because, we're not there yet, but I'm just this needs to go a certain way. It needs to go.
So when I hear people like Louis Marinelli talk national divorce, Marjorie Taylor Greene talk national divorce, Sarah Silverman talk national divorce, it runs the gambit from civil war to Brexit. And everything in between is where people think it can land and what it could end up being, whether it's just splitting the country in half, east versus west, left coast versus whatever. The Heartlands are the conservative paradise.
Yeah. No, look, we understand.
I would personally like to see 50 independent states.
Right.
Each other for varying things like trade and defense or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I see it more like a Brexit, a peaceful leaving of an involuntary agreement.
If it's going to be done, that seems like the only logical way to do all that,
And it's a model we understand, right? We understand states' rights. There are 50 governors who could be 50 presidents. It's an understandable landscape. And then if different states then want to start to bandy together or maybe even have virtual states that aren't contiguous but can work together, everyone just looks at it as all the what if problems, but it's there are very good reasons to be looking to these solutions. We are looking at a dollar collapse. We're looking at wars we can no longer fund. I think in New Hampshire, well, actually it's probably nationwide, each household owes more than $250,000 for U.S. debt. I don't know about any of you, but like, I can't write a check to the U.S. government for $250,000. Like, we're broke, man.
One thing that's cool about that is when the state secedes from the country, you don't have to carry on that debt anymore. It's gone. It's
stuck with the national debt.
It's gone. And coupled with the fact that we send more tax dollars to the federal government than we get back, we're in a very healthy situation to, you know, stand up for ourselves. Sometimes you've got to show the world what you can do. Like, we're number one. New Hampshire is the number one free state in the country. You know, we should be. Could you imagine if we had everybody the Free State Project in DC? Like, if we were the ones actually running things? Like,
no.
Sounds so, like New Hampshire would be a lot different.
Robert Daniel in chat actually has a question. He says, any secession will be bloody. The dictatorship will not tolerate any. We all know that. What's the plan for the military backlash from the U.S. government? I think this can kind of lead into an interesting discussion on the unilateral secession versus multilateral secession. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't necessarily have to be a New Hampshire says, hey, we're gone. The end result might be a convention of states, kind of a constitutional convention where enough people get together and say, you know what, this experiment hasn't worked. Let's go back to the 50 we had. And if it's a multilateral thing, I think there's a lot more chance of success than just a unilateral leaving. But even on the other side of that, like, I can't see a reason. One of the things I'm kind of, but people talk about the risk of Russia using nuclear weapons in Ukraine. I think that's really distant and like very minuscule threat, because Russia wants to hold territory and you don't want to destroy something you want to hold and want to use. And I can't see the United States military trying to forcibly take New Hampshire by military force if it's something they actually want, with our deep water port and the natural resources that we do have here. But I think there's a risk of, if we do peacefully secede, how do we deal with sanctions? Well, the world still runs on the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, that's something to think about. I do know that only with last year's Survey USA poll, only 3% of Americans actually would favor, you know, an aggressive retaliation by the American government, by the D.C. government. So doing something like that would be incredibly unpopular. You know, this isn't like we have the internet now. What's the internet age? Information travels quickly. They wouldn't be able to get away with something like that. You know, just look at what happened with the Nord Stream pipeline. They got caught. So
they sure did.
They got caught.
So, but at the same time, look what happened in Spain, where I can't remember the province off the top of my head, tried to secede and has been trying to secede for generations. And held their free and fair elections to vote on secession. And the Spanish government marched in the national police and arrested every political leader and declared the election invalid and instituted martial law lockdown and said, no, you didn't secede.
Right.
And
I think you guys are so I mean, I would much rather focus on like the sort of notions that what we're talking about is we want to be peaceful. We have to assume, I mean, I don't even know the person asking this question. I don't think that's where we would ordinarily focus our attention.
Yeah.
We want a peaceful evolution, really, to something that's better. Everyone, there is not one person in America who thinks things are working well, except maybe Nancy Pelosi. And even she can't even show up to work anymore, right?
So the models, this is what I'm thinking, right? So we want to bring it to a vote. It's a state vote. This is going to be something that people are voting on. And it makes me feel really good to know that we're not forcing anybody to do something that they wouldn't want to do. Secession will come with a vote of the people, with Granite State Mothers and Granite State Fathers having a say in the future of their state. And we could go, obviously the pro-independence gang wants to go like Brexit. But if the event were we somehow are outvoted in that in the future, when that does come, it would be just like Quebec up in just north of us in 1995 or in Scotland in 2014. So those are the examples that I think about, that I want people to know that I'm thinking about when it comes to this sort of thing.
And now you guys have done actual polling to like try and see how Granite Staters and New Hampshire voters feel about this idea and like how the that sentiment has changed over time too. Like, yes. What has your polling data actually shown about, like, outside of our echo chamber, outside of libertarians and free staters, your average Granite Stater?
Yeah, so Survey USA poll, most recent one done, 29% of the state is ready to secede today. 42% is ready for a vote. 52% of Republicans approve of secession. So we stand on good popular support to say that, you know, we're not foolish and we're not naive to suggest that secession is a good idea. The poll that came out last week from St. Anselm shown that 74% 2 years in a row disapproval in the federal government, and only 15% approved. So we must show that, you know, this is an okay course of action. It's serious. It's credible. The people who are leading it were serious. We want to earn your trust and credibility. But there is an interesting point to make is that, you know, when 29% are ready to secede today, you know, when we hit to 51% that's ready to secede, you know, the people who are leading the secession movement might not even be us. It could be, you know, a whole different group of people who are, because of their greater numbers, it's like, okay, this is what we're doing. Thanks for your help, guys. The, you know, secession campaign, the independence campaign is not about making Matt Saborn de Chouanier and Al Axelman the president and prime minister of New Hampshire. It's about serving the citizens. It's about looking out for our neighbors and plus our candidates, Carl, anyway. But we're in those positions, so we have to make it clear that it's not self-serving positions.
To me, the fun part of the poll is it's not 29% of people favor secession immediately. It's 29% of people were willing to admit to an anonymous pollster that they favor secession immediately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it also shows that the independence movement is actually bigger than the free state movement, or maybe even bigger than libertarian movement in New Hampshire. That's so sure. What I'm excited about to see is to see what other groups pop up in support of this idea, but that might not be coming from our culture necessarily. You know, there's the Democrats for New Hampshire independence. There's a Twitter page for that, you know, so we'll see where it goes. We're here to prepare, provide vision, give ideas, provide legislation. You know, we know that right now, majority of the state is not ready for secession, but a few of it is. So how can the independence community provide value? Well, that's why we went with the arguing for a nullification caucus in the House. We have an actual caucus in the House led by Representative Jason Gerha. We got 12 representatives dedicated to nullifying unconstitutional and hence illegal laws by the federal government. About within the context of the Constitution, 80% of the federal government is illegal. So there's a lot to nullify here. Now, we can, you know, that means we only have to secede from the last 20% of the federal government once everything else gets nullified. So I think it's a great way for, you know, libertarians and your traditional constitutional patriot to work together on a campaign that we can both agree on, and you'll be still be contributing to, you know, you know, state sovereignty in that sense. So, but I have to say, though, with this session, with this, you know, locked Congress, locked House that we have, our nullification bills are, they're kind of getting stopped.
Right.
You know, Defend the Guard is still in play, though, for this year. This is happening in a few months, but a lot of our bills, we got to get the right people. We need libertarians to move to New Hampshire. If you want to be a part of something meaningful in your lifetime, you're watching this, you're not in New Hampshire, come on, make the move. 2 years, you can run for state rep. We'll endorse you if you support independence. You know, we got to get our guys in those committees so that way we can get those policies that we want. That being said, you know, Defend the Guard is still in play. Jason Gerha, Matt Sanastasio, and Tom Mannion are some of the main sponsors on that one. Derek Prue is like the state lead for coordinating with Bring Our Troops Home. And we want to bring our troops home. Defend the Guard prevents It prevents the federal government from using state National Guard forces without a declaration of war, which is really powerful. It definitely would shock the system because you know that when the government is making their war plans, they're incorporating the manpower that the National Guard provides. When I was active duty, I actually dreamed of, like, man, I would have loved to have been in the Guard because the National Guard really is what the military is supposed to be. Citizen soldiers, you know, they're in the neighborhood, they're in touch. I just remember so many different leaders, you know, officers with rank on the shoulder who just seemed so out of touch with what the regular American was going on. They spent so much time overseas that they forgot what it was that they were serving about. Like, no, we gotta do this out here. This is really important. It's like, no, we need you back home. So bring our troops home, defend the Guard. That is an incredibly important piece of legislation. And I know it passed in the Arizona House, or I believe it did the Senate as well. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but I would love for us to be first, but it just needs to happen.
I don't care if we're first as long as we do it.
Or something. Yeah, that's – yeah, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I do think it's, like, really important to point out, too. Like, you mentioned the independence movement, like, based on the polling, is larger than the free state movement in New Hampshire. But, like, the free staters and libertarians in New Hampshire aren't all in gridlock – lockstep on this either. It's not a unanimous issue. People are divided in good faith arguments on every side that we do see. I remember the CACR 32 hearing in Concord. Maybe 90% of the room was free staters, and they were speaking on both sides of the issue, for and against. We had free staters who got up and testified against the idea of secession and putting it on the ballot, while free staters testifying for it. This is not something that's representative of libertarian ideology.
That's correct.
Not something that's representative of the free state movement. It's just something a lot of free staters have grasped onto as really indicative and representative of local sovereignty and local control. And I mean, heck, this whole thing was started when Jason Sorens was writing a thesis on secession movements.
Yeah.
But even he said it's just a card to have on the table. It's not something we should necessarily pursue right away.
Correct. Yeah. Should have had an idea, had a thought, then I lost it. Okay. Let's press. I know it'll come back. Hold on. Sorry, guys.
So, Defend the Guard, what's the status on that currently? And since we do have people watching, for informational purposes only, is there anything that's coming up, call for actions, things people could help with?
Point of contact is Derek Pruitt. We got the Action Center chat and Signal. I know we're just trying to... reach out to local, if you know a local VFW, if you know an American Veterans, if you know Veterans of Foreign Wars, you know, ITAM, if you know any of those veterans groups, we want those posts to be signed up to support this. We want to make it so that way, you know, Governor Sununu can't say no to that. So if you have an American Legion in your town, go down, talk to your commander. Talk to your American Legion commander.
Awesome. And well, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do with this work moving forward from here. It's definitely interesting. It shakes things up and it gets the conversation started, which to me is the most important thing happening about it, because 10 years ago, nobody took secession seriously. Nobody thought it was worth talking about. But now it's something you hear strangers in bars just bringing up casually. I never thought growing up, when learning about the fall of Rome in high school, that I'd be living to see it today. And I do hope it happens more peacefully than the fall of Rome did. But it's interesting to see the paths being taken, the attempts taken. I don't know if you guys are going to try something different than CACR 32 next year in the legislative session, or just try and plug that same constitutional amendment again.
Yep, I have heard rumors, and I double checked with, you know, Paul Terry, Matt Sanastasso, and Jason Gerhard, you know, between yesterday and today. I hey guys, like, what have I heard about this? Are we going to do it next year? And they didn't get back to me, so that's okay. They might want to keep that a secret, even from me, which is fine. So I don't know. I guess I don't know for certain just yet. I think we'll find out as we get closer to the legislation hearing. I do have a lot of great bill ideas for next year coming up. One of them has been done in Alabama. It's about getting the United Nations out of the state. It's a state level bill. Another one is about making our state, you know, we had last year's killer bill about 1178, like making our state a Second Amendment sanctuary state. Let's do something similar to that, but with the 10th Amendment Center. So if you nice. With the 10th Amendment. So if you guys are familiar with the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, it's the powers not delegated to the Constitution are reserved for the states. So do a 10th Amendment sanctuary state, start that precedence. We can become independent, you know, or at least increase our sovereignty a lot sooner. Another bill that I want to do is inspired by Eric Brakey up in Maine, which is basically like a line item veto of state funds going to the federal mm-hmm. government. So those yeah. are three options. There's another bill that I want to do that was initially brought into session last year, 2022, that was killed in committee, was ITL'd. It was relating to transparency of federal law enforcement operations in the state of New Hampshire. It would have forced the federal government, or it would have required the federal government to disclose to the state government of New Hampshire all the federal law enforcement, who are the feds in New Hampshire. And then the Attorney General of New Hampshire would then create an online database listing all of that. I had contributed an amendment to that idea because I was a part of an organization for a very brief period of time. So when I got out of the military, I was still very uncertain about what to do. I could go, I had so many opportunities for jobs. And it's like, okay, what should I do? Should I dream big? Like, I didn't get a big fancy job immediately out of the military. And I ended up making the decision to go back to school online for a master's degree. I've loved planes my entire life. My dad would bring me to air shows when I was a kid growing up. We have an air show coming to Portsmouth this fall. I'm really excited for it to see all those cool fighter jets fly. But I mean, they can fly at air shows. That's fine. Like, don't send our boys over there. Like, it's just good fun. But so I decided, it was like the 50th anniversary of the moon landing a couple of years back. I'm like, you know what? I saw that NASA actually increased the requirements for astronaut applicants by you have to have a master's degree in STEM. So it's like, you know what? When lacking clear direction, just shoot. Like, have big dreams
for the stars, literally.
Yeah, like literally. So it's like, if I'm putting myself in a situation where I'm saying, oh man, I put in an application for astronaut, that's a pretty good place to be in life, you know? Like I haven't completed, I haven't bought into like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready to go to New Hampshire yet. So I got an online degree, or I started an online program, master's at the University of Online San Diego in cybersecurity operations and leadership. And as a requirement for this, I was required to join an organization called InfraGuard. And what's really fun about this is that every time I share this story with everyone, no one's ever heard of InfraGuard. And that's how I know it's like, oh, this is really good. Because what InfraGuard is a public-private partnership with the FBI for monitoring critical infrastructure with, around the country. And I was considering that I did not hear about it until I was already like a student in that program. I actually think that they follow through with what they actually say they're going to do. You know, they're not like some, fed op, but the thing is though, is like, like 3 months into the Biden administration, they opened up our electrical grid to the Chinese. So it's like, what's the point of this organization if we're just going to open it up to a foreign, open up our critical infrastructure to a foreign country? There's no point. And all it does is that this organization, InfraGuard, like all you have to do is to be 18 and you pass a background check, and congratulations, you're a hall monitor for all your buddies. I'm like, this is a clear way for the state to get around, their own restrictions by using a nonprofit to accomplish their own means.
Right, so, but they're doing that in all the sectors, right? We're doing that with censorship. That's what they did with big tech
So when I moved to
gave us a little segue there, if we wanted to go into Carla's favorite subject about why New Hampshire's energy grid needs to have our own nukes and be completely independent.
Nuclear independent energy, not our own nukes, just categorically.
Yes to both.
I mean, and I'll take one nuke. It's just insurance.
Well, I live right by a nuclear power plant, and I feel safe. So
you feel safe for sure.
I feel safe.
Well, that's
the radiation
state in the country, right? Hey, well,
haven't got a clue,
Matt, for coming on tonight. That a great conversation. I've learned some stuff, and I followed it pretty closely. So it's fun to still learn some stuff here and there. But just a friendly reminder to everybody that the Free State Project itself is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit that does not specifically endorse or support any political parties, political agendas, pieces of legislation, or initiatives. The opinions expressed here merely of us, our hosts, and our wonderful guests, and aren't the official representation of the organization's stances. Presented for educational purposes only. And if you want to learn more, Matt, where can everybody check in on you?
NIPAC.org. We're on Twitter. We're on Gab. Foundation for New Hampshire Independence as well. NewHampshireIndependence.org. The president is Alu Axelman. NHExit.us. That's another great one. NewHampshireSecession.com. Those are other few great places to learn more about state secession.
So definitely go check it out. You can contribute to the PAC as a monthly contributor. I am. Others are.
NHIPAC.
Yeah. Oh, I'm terrible at spelling. Don't get me wrong here. So NHIPAC, that's New Hampshire Independence PAC.org.
Bam. There we go.
The work they're doing and how you can get involved and contribute. Carla?
And my finger is up because I don't want to forget to make these announcements. I believe that there is Aria's sentencing is this week. It might even be tomorrow. So people look out for that and keep an eye out. There's a parental bill of rights. I don't know anything about this other than I saw something scroll by. So if that's your jam, I believe that's at 9 a.m. tomorrow in Concord. And then on Friday night out in where? We have the first Ware Market Day. That's going to be at Brian Becker's warehouse. That's from 4 to 8 p.m. on this Friday. If you don't know where it is, it's right. It's on the 114 right next to the Dunks. You'll see the Appeal to Heaven sign. Come hang out. Come meet people. It's sort of a hybrid between all different people who are just interested in selling stuff. So come check it out 4 to 8 on Friday. Saturday, there is the Pine Tree Riot that's being presented by AFP. So you can find the information for that. And I almost followed the note that said, shut up and listen. I try.
Well, if you guys want to check out all these events and more, the fsp.org/calendar, most jam-packed calendar of liberty events in the world. We joke every week. You can try and do them all. You can't. You'll burn out. But it's going to be a fun time, and you'll have dates filled. If you want to learn just more about the Free State Project, just check out fsp.org. If you're planning your visit, get in touch with Rebecca, Chris, and everyone involved in the team at fsp.org/visitnh. Plan your visit. Plan your trip. Get here. And no better reason to get here than Porkfest. Right around the corner. It's going to be a great time. As always, you and 2,000 of your closest friends up in the mountains having for a full week. 3,000 this time?
Yeah, we've sold over 3,000 tickets. Like we're maxed out.
There is going to be a killer debate that week. We still got to get the right time and schedule and location for it between Alu Axelman, the president of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence, and Steve Villay, the founder of the Club 75 Alliance.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Between unilateral and multilateral secession. So you don't want to miss that.
That sounds okay. I'm such a nerd because I'm like, that sounds sexy.
and Kevin's not here, but he would definitely want you all, if you guys want to get in touch, stay in touch every day, all day, daily voice chats and video chats on discord.gg/FSP. Get in touch with the online community. People here, people there, people all over the world chiming in to help out and plan their moves to get here to New Hampshire. Bill, you got anything?
This has been a great AI session.
That 4K, man.
If you guys want to support the mission of the Free State Project and all the work that we do, you can go to fsp.org/give. Do monthly recurring donations, one-time donations, crypto donations. Get in touch. We can help you get it done, because guess what? As a 501c3 charitable nonprofit organization, your donations are tax deductible, and what better way to spend them than not let Uncle Sam. All right. Thank you so much for being here, everybody. Matt, thanks so much for coming
on. Thanks, guys.
And until next time, y'all, be free.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Yeah. I don't believe in destiny. I just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies. They're just full of jealousy. Yeah. This legacy. You gon' see what's left of me. You gon' see success in me. You ain't seen the rest. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessive, oh I know. Call me selective with my notes. Call me aggressive with my flow. Call me offensive even though. Joey ain't gonna lie.